Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This is Global Great Awakenings. We're joined once again by the great Dr. Stephen Pidgeon. Stephen, it's wonderful to have you on again. We're going to be exploring a lot of different subjects. As we were talking before the show started, we've got the Stormy Daniels trial, which I haven't really followed too much. We've got the Marjorie Taylor Greene impeachment of Mike Johnson, the House Speaker. We've got, of course, Ukraine. We've got Gaza. We've got Trump in general. We've got the student protests that are occurring. And I look forward to jumping into that. Let me just welcome you, Stephen Pidgeon.
Well, thank you, Scott. Good to be here. Good to be talking about these global ideas. And I have to say that as I look out over the coming summer here in 2024, a summer of trouble. And we have not yet exited the woods, if you will, from the trouble that is currently on the horizon. And it's a trouble that is brought to us really by the same kind of egomaniacism that we saw exhibited by LBJ in the escalation in Vietnam. Vietnam was a failed idea, it was a failed policy, and it was structured on a falsehood, structured on a false flag, right? The Bay of Tonkin, and then structured on a falsehood that somehow our commitment in Vietnam was something about keeping communism from expanding into Southeast Asia and what they called the domino effect. Ludicrous idea. And the truth is, this was all a bunch of pablum that was fed to the American public in order to facilitate the trafficking of heroin when the French lost control of the heroin market in 1959, and the U.S. decided to pick it up in order to keep Russia from having control of the same heroin market. And so this is what it was all about. It had nothing to do with the domino effect or preventing the spread of communism or anything else. But it did involve the slaughter of millions of Vietnamese in a, you know, in this ridiculous colonization war. And actually, you know, the difference between America and Britain is that Britain used to engage in colonization because they believed that their way was a better way. So we'll come and colonize you and teach you the better way of things so that you two become civilized. America doesn't believe in that. We believe in non-colonization. We come over and pretend we're going to colonize you, blast you into oblivion, and then leave it like that. And say, see you later. Hope you make it. Hope you figure it out, you know. But if you ever threaten us again, we'll renew the bombing. So, but Johnson had engaged in an ego trip. It was like, hey, look, I'm not going to take any crap from Ho Chi Minh. I'll just keep up in the ante. If Ho Chi Minh, you know, if Ho Chi Minh keeps coming at me, oh, I'll just put more armament in there. I'll just put more bombs in there. I'll put more troops in there. We'll keep escalating and escalating and escalating until we have to kill every last one of them. We'll do it. Well, that kind of, that was purely an ego trip. It had nothing to do with winning a war. It had nothing to do with meeting objectives. None of that. We have the same problem going on in Ukraine. Ukraine is not an ally of the United States. It's not a member of the EU. It's not a member of NATO. And yet we see the Biden administration continuing to escalate when he made the statement in front of Congress, I will not bow down. That's the same ego trip that LBJ had, same ego trip. And I'm going to just keep escalating. I'll get a bigger and bigger club and a bigger and bigger club until you see the 82nd Airborne in Kyiv. Is what one famous statement that he made.
And I'll draft everybody, regardless of what they want. I'll force everybody into the military.
Yeah, and this is his thinking. It's just a giant egomaniacal claim, right? And it has to do with this idea of you know, megalomania. You know, I'm in control here. I've got power. And of course, he doesn't have power. He's a usurper. You know, given the election of 2020, he's a usurper, and as is the democratic regime. And of course, now we know it's a totally corrupted cabal that's completely bought and paid for. You know, there's no integrity remaining there whatsoever, as we can see by this little fiasco that happened with Mike Johnson, sanctioning the person who said it's improper to wave Ukrainian flags in the House of Representatives. That's a violation of law to wave another nation's flag in the House of Representatives. And he sanctioned the person who asked the sergeant of arms to instruct everybody to put those flags down. And then Mike Johnson takes $500,000 from AIPAC the day after he passes a $31 billion expenditure that has now resulted in the Israelis breaching the Camp David Accords, for heaven's sakes, the 1979 Camp David Accords that Jimmy Carter crafted. The only thing that's had any kind of recognizable peace integer to it in that whole area, they're breaching it by putting tanks along the Israeli-Egyptian border. Well, that's a huge, huge destruction of all protocol. Now the Israelis have taken this initiative that says, we're respecting nothing. We're not respecting S-181. We're not respecting the Camp David Accords. We're not respecting anything. We're just going to do what we want to do, and you guys can just pound sand, including you, Joe Biden, who said, I'm not going to give you any more missiles if you keep using it on women and children in Gaza. I saw an interesting clip today of a tank at Rafah lobbing a bomb into a group of civilians and blowing civilians almost 100 feet in the air.
That's what it does.
Well, nice expenditure on the part of the U.S. Well, so here we go. So with this kind of thing, we have long, because the ego of the president is one of a bully. He's a
Yes.
wife abusing bully, is what he
Yes.
is.
I'm wife murdering bully.
A wife murdering bully. That correct. And and so because of this, he has no limits. There's nobody that's punched him in the nose. And he doesn't have any limits. Well, now we've arrived at a point. We're at the threshold here, Scott. We're moving up towards DEFCON, 5. We're moving in that direction. We're getting there very, very quickly.
Very
And
quickly.
I do want to talk about the kind of message that was given to the French ambassador and the British ambassador just recently, and the kind of language that's been used by both Putin and Dima Medvedev in respect of what that war looks like. Because, of course, I would like to be able to report to you here today that there are many, many economic things in the wind that are really quite good. Zimbabwe's gone on to gold. Zimbabwe figured it out. Here they are. We used to be the richest nation in Africa, the richest nation in the world, really, on a per capita income level. And they plummeted to the poorest nation in Africa because of the stupid policies of Mugabe, who was one of the worst leaders in all of world history, and of course the racist genocide that they perpetrated in formerly Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe. And now they have recognized, okay, no one in Zimbabwe will take Zimbabwe currency. They won't take their own currency. But so they have wised up and are issuing a gold coin now. Smart, smart move. It's something the US should do, but we can't because we don't have any gold. All that was gone, and evidenced by the fact that the gold was moved to the World Trade Center in 1992, and the World Trade Center was terminated in 2001. And where'd that gold go? Well, we never found any when we were cleaning up the mess, that's for sure. So here we are. So now we're at a point now where we've pushed the world to the brink of destruction. And we pushed the world to the brink of destruction because we don't want to admit that we're a fading empire, that we've lost Pax Americana. Now, one way to handle the loss of Pax Americana is to exit with grace and say, okay, well, we used to be great. We're not so great anymore. So to the extent that we kind of hurt your feelings, please forgive us. Let's move on and let's become partners in the
But they don't
partnership.
have that psychological maturity or grace or humility, Stephen. They are full of fear, pride. I mean, there is a psychological profile that you can attach to these people, and that's one of the reasons I'm so infuriated all the time at all of this, because I know they're psychopaths. They're psychopaths, they're sociopaths, they're narcissists. They're abusive bullies, like you just described. They're incapable of humility, gratitude, thankfulness. They're incapable of repentance. They are, it's, look at Milley, the General Milley. He is a prime example. The ugliness of him physically is only matched by the ugliness of him spiritually and emotionally. And I studied these people, and they are incapable of changes. The wicked change not. The Lord says it. God says, the wicked change not. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. He also says, the riches of the wicked are stored up for the righteous. He also, says,
Amen.
vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I shall repay. I've said that all the time in Iran and Russia and Beirut, all the places I've gone. I've said, this is, the Lord doesn't change. And his balances always equal out. And the Palestinians, in their pleas to God, they are calling out for him. And you see that and hear that all the time. They give
Yeah, let me
every
say
to
this. I
God.
want to say this to the Palestinian people, okay? And let me say this to the Palestinians in Gaza in particular. Islam teaches a methodology of understanding. But in Islam, it is written in the Quran. And not to defame the Quran, but in the Quran, it is written that Every Muslim will be judged in hell on his knees and will be judged in accordance with his works. But in the faith which belongs to Mashiach, which has been practiced in Gaza, you know, there are many, many Orthodox churches that stand in Gaza or that stood in Gaza. And there are many, many believers in that faith, and they have not reached their hand out to Islam, but they need to reach their hand out to Islam to understand that even in the face of persecution, in the face of persecution, nonetheless, Yah is with us. And when you realize that Yah is with us, that there is no harm that man can do to you on this earth that has eternal consequences.
Amen.
Fear not him who can kill the flesh. Fear him who can kill both the flesh and the soul.
Amen.
And this is the creator. This is the maker. Yep. And the maker says to you, look, and I'm going to say this to every Muslim that is in Gaza. He knows your name. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knew you before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
He did not put you on this earth to be punished. He did not put you on this earth to suffer. He did not put you on this earth to be reincarnated into suffering because of a deed you did before. He put you on this earth that you might come to glorify him and to understand him and to recognize your creator and your maker. And in recognizing your creator and your maker, you are born again. You become someone new. You become a new person. And you become a new person that is subject to redemption. And the subject of redemption is what? You say, well, Yah has no son. Well, that is an understanding where Allah has no son. But this is an understanding that says a son is somebody physically birthed. But this was not a physical birth. It was a physical birth, but it was a miraculous birth.
Yes.
It was something more than a physical birth, because you see both the Ben Elohim and the Ben Adam in the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And this becomes an extremely important thing to understand, that not only is he the Ben Adam, but he's also the Ben Elohim in the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this, the blood was required. Leviticus 17 says, look, the blood is in the soul. He and I have given it to you on the altar for repentance.
Blood is the atonement for sin.
Blood is the atonement. And it is a sin that cannot be cured by any deed that is done by a Muslim anywhere in the world, because the sin was done by Adam, who preceded us many, many centuries,
yes,
and cannot be atoned by man. There is no work that you can do that is going to atone for the fact that death is in the world. But you can step into eternal life with the understanding of the work on the cross.
Yes.
Mashiach's death terminated the curse of Adam for those who accept that idea. And with that acceptance comes the ability to understand that Yah is with you. Even when the bombs drop, even when you've lost your children, even when the suffering is intense, even when you cannot eat, Yah is there and he is present. Trust in him and let him deliver you. Call upon the name of Yahweh and you shall be delivered. And, you know, so Palestine, you know, this thing about Palestine and the thing about the suffering really throughout the world,
yeah,
is that the suffering, you know, the people in the world, you know, I'm a big believer, Scott, that there is no human being that does not have the opportunity for the keys to the kingdom.
No, you're right. Exactly. God says that. God says it. God wishes that no man would perish. Every human being, you know, has the gospel preached or talked there. In it is the mystery, but you know, some are destined to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Some are not, but it's a mystery.
That's not our business. It is not our business who's written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
That's right.
Our business is the business that we have been called to by Yah.
Go forth and preach the gospel.
That's exactly the good news. The good news is what? I will give you oil of joy for mourning. I will give you garments of praise.
Amen.
I will plant you anew as trees of righteousness.
Yes.
I will take away your captivity. I will restore the sight to the blind.
Yes.
And heal those who are bruised. This is the good news. This is coming. This is coming. So fear
though
not.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be as crimson, they shall, what is it? They shall be as
They shall be, yeah. But there you go. As far as the east is from the west, they shall be separated one from the other.
Yes.
And so let this be, and this means that no adjudication in hell on your knees. There's no adjudication in hell on your knees.
There's no torments of the grave. There's no angel smashing you with hammers. There's no snake devouring you and then regurgitating you. Those are the ideals of the torments of the grave, but it's not what happens. Christ, in his blood atonement, covers you and spares you all of that. Christ did that. Christ paid for it. Christ endured eternity in hell, and then was risen again.
Yeah, and so here we have it. And so let us trust in that and believe in that. And so this is why I think that when we look at all the bad news, Scott, we can spend, and we will spend a lot of time looking at it today. But when you look at the good news is this. First of all, the house of Esau has been at war with the house of Yisrael for, since the birthright was sold. He was so ticked off at him. You stole my birthright, then you stole my blessing. And he tells his mother, as soon as dad dies, I'm going to kill him. Right? And mom says to Yaakov, you need to take off. You need to go up, go see your cousins, get out of here, don't come back. And he's gone for 20 years, right? Gone for 20 years. And even then, when he comes back, he fears seeing his brother. If I see my brother, it's going to be bad. So he gives him all these flocks and all this other stuff, and trying to pay off his brother. And but even though his brother was happy to see him and all of this, there still was his brother was saying, well, why don't you come on back with me to Mount Seir and we'll just kind of hang out? And Yaakov was thinking, no, I think I'm going to go my own way because if I hang out with you for very long, that old anger is going to be right back and then you're going to want to kill me again. So I'm hitting the road, I'm getting out of here, right? But since then, Esau has been at war with Yaakov nonstop. And the war continues even to this day, and people don't know who Esau is. Esau is Edom, and Edom controls really the West. And Esau is at war. Edom is at war with Yaakov and wants to terminate Yaakov. And Yaakov, on the other hand, took a step. I watched a very interesting interview with Alexander Dugin, with Dugin and Tucker Carlson. Brilliant interview there.
Yes, quite good. Quite good.
And Dugin was talking about, he was talking about the tenets of individualism. And he tended to blame that on what took place in the Protestant Revolution under Henry VIII. However, Dugin, of course, speaks from a background of collectivism. You remember
Correct.
that the spectrum had swung entirely to the far end of that collective ideology with the rise of communism in the Bolshevik Revolution.
Yeah.
Oh,
Dugan
it's
has a
Marxism.
Dugan has a little bit of a he I agree with you 100% because I criticized him on that too. Dugan has a flavor of it takes a village to raise a child kind of thing.
Yeah,
No,
well, there's
no.
there is, I mean, you can go to the extreme of collectivism too, and when you get to the extreme of collectivism, everybody is a dumbed down slave, right? But when you get to the extreme of individualism, everybody has killed themselves and divorced himself from being a human being.
True, true,
So
true.
these are two extremes. Somewhere in the middle is this idea of individualism and collectivism jointly existing, coexisting. And this, and but so, and I disagree with him in the respect that he thinks the Protestant Revolution of Henry VIII was something that spearheaded this ultimately was going to lead to transgenderism and transhumanism. And I disagree with him. I think the Protestant Revolution of Henry VIII was the most important thing that happened in Western history
I agree.
because Henry VIII said, look, Mr. Pope, you're not British, you're Italian. You're not going to come up here and tell us how to run our life. We
Amen.
run our life in accordance with the common law, which pre-existed the Roman Church, by the way, by over 1,000 years.
Wow.
So you don't come up here and try to tell us that you have the tradition or that you have the authority or that you have anything else. You don't. And we're not going to allow you to assert it anymore. We're going to push you out and then we're going to hold fast. Well, that Protestant Revolution was immediately, Henry VIII's own daughter, Mary, Queen of Scots, she tried to take them back into Catholicism.
Right.
We had.
Since then, the Catholic Church has been at war with Protestants, calling them heretics.
That's exactly right. And, Elizabeth I pushed, beheaded Mary, Queen of Scots, reinforced Protestantism, wrote a nasty letter to the Pope concerning Joseph of Arimathea and how the Pope had promised to send shepherds and instead had sent wolves, namely Augustine, who executed the pre-existing bishops in the land, right, in order to impose Romanism.
Yes.
And of course, James I, created the King James Bible. And articulated the Protestant line, but his son, Charles I, would end up being beheaded by Oliver Cromwell for trying to take Britain back into Catholicism.
That's right. That's right. And that's when Oliver Cromwell went back in with his farmer army, dissolved parliament, put a chain around it, and suspended parliament, I think, for a year or so before they got it back together, which is the same thing I've said the Russians need to do in Ukraine. You need to go in there and dissolve parliament, put a chain around it, and make and elect new people. I don't care how long it takes. You can't have these festering traitors in the Ukrainian parliament who drive Bentleys and have whore-hopping parties while young kids are being thrown into the meat grinder. Oh, we're the anointed. We get the special money from Macron and from the U.S. No, all those people need to be arrested like the Nazi Gestapo they are by Russia, charged in war crimes. But the whole political infrastructure of Ukraine has to be blown up, burned down, whatever you want to call it, then to be resurrected with a particular flavor of Ukraine and its traditions and those people. I mean, you're not instituting Chinese stuff. These people are white Anglo, or they're white Slavic Russian people. But all the shit that's been brewing in Ukraine for since the 90s, all of that has to be scraped off like a cancerous scab.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult because you have the tenets of the Soros Open Society Foundation and the Orange Revolution. That's one protocol that kind of, ripened the field, if you will. And then, of course, you have the Maidan Revolution, sponsored by Victoria Nuland and the State Department, which actually created a Nazism, a Nazi fascism, and a hyper-racism, and, this kind of myopia that's been going on in Ukraine. Then followed by the traitors that are currently sitting at the top, including dictator of Vladimir Zelensky, who suspended all elections, shut down all media, all opposing speech, et cetera, even closed
Outlawed the
opposing
Russian
church.
Orthodox Church, closed
Yeah, yeah.
churches,
Yeah, yeah.
paganism, devil. I mean, the whole not. I've seen these guys and interviewed them, covered in devil horns and swastikas. I mean, straight up demonism tattoos.
Yeah. And so this kind of thing is ultimately going to have to be eliminated from the Slavic areas, from the Slavic ground. It's going to have to be eliminated. And that soil is now covered with blood. And I don't know how, there's so much blood in Ukrainian soil, going back to the tank battle of Kursk, and all of the battles, the Holodomor that took place in Ukraine, 34, 35, the deaths that are currently happening, the 700,000 more dead. There's a lot of blood in that soil. And it's going to take a lot to sanctify that ground again, a great deal. But when you went back to this Protestant Revolution, I want to make this point because, following Cromwell's reinstatement of Protestantism in the British Isles, including in Ireland, you get to Charles II. Charles II did not open the door to Romanism in the UK, but he opened it in the United States. He allowed the Jesuits to encamp in Delaware.
Maryland too, right? Maryland.
Mary's land. Yep. And here they come. And when the Jesuits came in and encamped, then the Masons and the Jesuit order infiltrated the foundation of the country. And what were 12 Protestant states who had litmus tests to hold office, suddenly when the Constitution is created, the First Amendment says no making a law that stops the Catholic Church from being able to do whatever it wants to do in America. That's what the First Amendment really says, right? Now, here's the situation
And
200
there's
years
Flynn,
later.
General Michael Flynn, a Catholic of what, nine brothers and sisters, who has been right behind Trump, I think stabbing him in the back. And you and I were there. You and I presented the
Yeah,
best we
but look
had.
at Trump. Trump appointed four Catholics to the bench. So the Supreme Court consists of seven Catholics and two Jews. And where are these Protestants that formed this country? Banned. This recent bill that came out of the Senate to fund protection for synagogues and mosques, not one penny for any Christian churches.
When the wicked rule, the people mourn.
Yeah, and the hate speech law that's been passed by the House, which I think is going to die in the Senate. They're just going to shoot it in the head. But that hate speech law criminalized the New Testament. Criminalized.
Yes.
Yeah, this was voted on by your favorite Republicans who had no problem criminalizing the New Testament. Now, when you think about this, I mean, look, this is how far we have fallen. Now, going back to this Protestant Revolution, when you go back and you look at what took place after James II decides to take England back to Catholicism, Civil War breaks out. The Glorious Revolution. And
Yes.
before William and Mary of Orange are put on the throne, the English Bill of Rights is adopted. Now, the English Bill of Rights is a very interesting document worthy of a read because it declares the kinds of stunts that are being pulled by our own government right now as being illegal. You
Yes.
know, arming Catholics while disarming Protestants, increasing taxes on one group of people while decreasing taxes on another, weaponizing the judiciary to make sure that Catholics never are found guilty of any crimes, while Protestants are held to the fine-tooth letter. All of this was being done by James II, and Parliament in the English Bill of Rights said, that's illegal, that's illegal, that's illegal, and that's illegal. And the king no longer has the right to rule by arbitrary decree. It has to come through Parliament, period. So this English Bill of Rights was something that we rejected as colonists. Well, we want to revolt against you guys. We don't want to be part of this Anglican thing anymore. Why? Because there were Jesuits operating in the country that wanted the opportunity, since Rome could no longer get into the United Kingdom, they wanted to get into the colonies of the United Kingdom to take them away. And they have taken them away. All right. So when you see Dugin talking about the Protestant Revolution being something that led to individualism, I disagree with Dugin. And I disagree that the collectivism practiced by Orthodoxy in the East is a superior mechanism to the common law Protestantism practiced in, not in the West, but in the English-speaking world.
And let me just say one quick thing on this. Protestantism, and coming from a Scottish background, a Scottish home, and then we were all Protestants, all Presbyterians, Scottish Presbyterian. I was raised in the Scottish clan and uncles and all. I mean, a huge, it was a rare phenomenon that the Lord allowed me to experience. But Protestantism, especially Scottish Presbyterianism, I'll blow the horn. We are raised fiercely independent, fiercely strong-willed. You trust your blood, your family, your clan, anyone with a Scottish accent, and anyone not, you hold them in, you know, a degree of civil yet distant you know, relationship.
Right.
And there's a ferocity and there's an independence and there's also, I mean, a great humility. The Scottish, how I was raised and my grandfather and all that, there's an incredible humility before God, you know, a quietness and, well, you know, God knows. Well, God's, I've always seen that in my relatives. Whereas the Russian Orthodoxy, I've seen, you know, when I compare it, I've seen a certain dullness, a certain socialism, a certain, you know, resignation, a certain,
Well,
you know,
mea
there.
culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa, right? This
And
kind of
I can't
theocracy is
explain
still,
it, but it's there. It's
it's
different
still
than.
prevalent. Yeah, it is. Yeah. And this is an important thing because, look, just because they're Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, doesn't mean that I can't love them and love their
Of course,
faith, love who
of
they are.
course,
But,
of
you know,
course.
I disagree with Orthodoxy on many tenets, and I disagree with some of the Protestantism on
But
many
you're
tenets.
never going to argue them into the kingdom of God. God
And
says,
I'm right, and
let
I'm
your
not
light so shine before men.
yeah,
Show them
right.
you.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is their re-embrace of who they are as an Orthodox people has turned into a massive blessing for them. I mean, they're
Yes.
about to exceed the GDP of Japan right now, Scott.
They're the biggest economy in the world, Steve. They're right now, Russia is where America was the whole 2023. It's actually is even exceeded America in 2023. So Russia in 2024 could end up being twice the size of the US economy in 2023.
Yeah, so there you go. And so when you see this, what does the scripture say? The scripture says, look, when you practice these things, you will become the head and not the tail. You will
Amen.
become the creditor and not the debtor. So you only need to look at one thing. If you want to pull out the thermometer and measure the spiritual temperature of America, you only need to look at one number, $34 trillion. That's all you need to look at. When you see the federal debt, we are the greatest debtor in the world. That is the spiritual thermometer. That's the only spiritual thermometer you need to look to.
I think we're the greatest sinner in the world, too. And when God says, every nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. And every action, every law, every passive cultural allowance that we have introduced into our society since 1950, and I'd say maybe 1967 was when it really amplified.
No, 1950, actually it was December of 1953 when we crossed the threshold, when Hugh Hefner published
Yes.
Marilyn Monroe on the
Yes.
December issue of Playboy. We crossed the threshold.
He should have been, I mean, personally, he should have been executed, thrown in jail. His everything should have been crushed and burned. And you burn the idols, you get rid of that, and you show repentance, and you show adoration for family and purity and sexual beauty of women. You do everything to keep that bond holy and sacred. But we desecrated that and corroded that and started sprinkling shit in the powder, in the chocolate pudding, so to speak. And from
Yeah, that's
1950,
right.
1953 till now, we have incrementally forgotten God. And God says, you'll be turned into hell. Not by his, well, I'm going to turn you into hell. You are doing it by your own actions. And these actions are going to burn you in hell. It's almost like, you know, you ignite a match and start burning your own seed corn. Well, at the end of 50 years or whatever, it's all going to be black charred earth, and you're not going to have seed corn by your own doing. And we've done that. We've done that in destroying our whole generation. This country is a schizophrenic Frankenstein that is committing suicide and calling it, you know, human rights. And the devil himself is speaking into their delusion. Oh, get another vaccine, get another, you know, transhumanism. And suddenly you'll be like Buck Rogers and Mr. Spock, and you'll have no. You'll be a deformed glob of misery, gnashing your tongue with pain. That's what's coming upon the earth.
Seeking death and not able to find it.
Amen.
Now, this is scriptural too, you know. And so when we talk about this, Scott, you know, I can't give any cures for America because America is judged now. And, you know, and the judgment, we had this final sign of judgment with this eclipse on April 8th. 40 days to repent. And if you don't repent, the judgment is final. It's going to be final on America. No, not final on Americans, but final on America. Yeah, this nation is toast. Now, I keep looking at these events and thinking, okay, is there any way that we can escape this destiny? Or is this destiny certain?
Lord, is there 10 righteous men in Alaska? There's got to be in Alaska. Is there 10? Is there 5? Will you spare the nation?
Yeah. There are 10. There are 10. Yeah. And, you know, but the thing is, are there 10 in Washington, D.C.? That's
no,
better.
There's none anywhere except Alaska. That's why Alaska could be the only place spared while the rest of American pockets will be spared. But the rest of this country, no, it's going to go into ash.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, so the thing is, when we look at, you know, going back to your Scottish Presbyterian roots and going back to this Protestantism that was part of the UK fabric, you know, even today, you can still see it. You know, you go through the UK and, you know, many people in the UK, they've got a favorite hymn that they're willing to sing you from, right? And, you know, the true national anthem of Britain is Jerusalem. I did those feet in ancient times. Walk upon Britain's mountains green. I was the holy lamb of God on Britain's hills seen, right? I mean, this is the question, right? And this song is the true national anthem of Britain, not God's.
Chariots of Fire. It was in Chariots of Fire in the end of the song.
Yeah, and so when you understand that, you can see that this was a nation that, and so you see two different theocracies. You see a Protestant theocracy in Britain, and you see an Orthodox theocracy in Russia. The theocracy that is supposed to be expressed by the Catholic Church has a leader right now that begs the question, is the Pope Catholic? I mean, he does not tout any Catholic doctrine whatsoever. The true, again, going back to the true Pope, the true leader of the Catholic Church is Cardinal Vigano, and the Illuminati, the World Economic Forum, these other corporate leaders will not allow Vigano to hold the seat of the papacy. He's the true vicar of the Catholic Church. And to leave him out and to leave this fraud, this son of a Nazi, this mass murderer from Argentina, Jorge Bergoglio, to sit in that spot is an obscenity. And he has, you know, he's done more destruction to the church and the faith than any single human being in my lifetime, any single human being I can point to, going back to maybe the Borgia The Borgia Pope, who was a murderer, maybe he was the last one who was as close to being as vile as this current guy. But this current guy is completely destructive. And so when we talk about theocracies, now the theocracy in Britain is corrupted, 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 and corrupted. Whereas the theocracy in Russia was oppressed by the Soviets and with an attempt to extinguish it through mass murder. And look, Vladimir Putin and some of the other leaders in Russia can sit back and want to give Yusef Djugashvili, Joseph Stalin, a pass. I don't give the guy a pass, okay? He committed mass murder on an exponential scale that was unprecedented by anyone. And
And
Russia
see,
needs to accept that and to recognize that and to expunge it from the past. Now, of course, many people in the Christian faith, like you don't hear Russians bellyaching going around saying, hey, remember Stalin's execution,
No.
remember the Bolsheviks. Do you hear them bellyaching about it? Because that
No.
isn't what people of strength do.
Yes.
Okay, so Stalin can be forgiven, and the families can move on and so on. It's such a bloody period of Russian history. Go ahead.
But it can be forgiven and it should be forgiven. However, you have to have the confession of sin. And that's where Putin and the rest of them don't do. They just kind of, well, they kind of softly, no, there's a righteous indignation. You have to turn the fire up in the heart, if you will. It doesn't mean you have to start breaking furniture and start, whipping yourself and stuff, but you have to get sort of passionate. That's the one thing I've seen, the Russians are not the Presbyterian fire passion. To expel this out of the soul of Russia requires an energetic, passionate, absolute, crystal presentation of facts. Here, confess your sins one to another and you'll be healed, kind of thing. Not with the confession of a priest or anything like that, but they need to do what you're saying, Stephen, but with a seriousness. Like Tucker had a golden, that conversation should have included the stuff that you and I are talking about. And Putin
He should have approached
should have
the
been
Holden.
told,
He should have
you
approached the
need
Holden
to
monk.
express passion, Mr. Putin, to get this stuff out of the soul of Russia. And then, okay, it's out, it's done, and they move on instead of this,
Well, there's kind of
quasi-socialist.
an there's an underlying thing in the Russian soul. It's like, during the time of Boris Yeltsin, Boris Yeltsin,
Yes.
you had a situation going where there was a time when there was the potential for civil war was ripe right there.
Big time, big time.
And
1990 to 1998, the whole country had lost every. It was like a hay bale that lost the binding wires that kept it together, nice and
exactly.
square.
And so there was the potential for a civil war to break out, similar to the Bolshevik Revolution.
Yes.
And the average Russian, without saying a word to one another, said, we've been there, we did that. We're not going back. We've already done that one. We're not going back to that one. And this was in the heart and the soul of the Russian, unspoken. Okay, so there's a lot of ideology that goes unspoken in the Russian soul.
True.
Okay. And I think a lot of this it concerns, like, for instance, there's a joke in Russia. What's the oldest joke in Russia? Communism. It's the oldest joke in Russia, right? It's a joke. It's a shutnik, right? Shutka. We're not going to be dealing with this shutka anymore. This shutka of communism. It's and so what? Communist Party got 1% of the vote or something in this last election. It's a nominalism that really doesn't exist anymore. However, there's always the potentiality for the world. And you remember that the Bolshevism was raised up by bankers out of New York and London
Yes.
that wanted to create a worker state where they could get slave labor. Now, they didn't succeed in Russia, but they did succeed in China. Long enough for them to put in all of the American corporations and industry so they could get slave labor to build it and charge it at fair market rates in the United States for some period of time. And that
Yes.
thing was a diminishing return.
Correct.
1990, high returns. 2000, not so high. 2010, 2020, well, it's going the other way now. Because guess what? You force the American worker to compete with the Chinese slave all the
Yes.
time, asking him to pay American prices for the good that was being made by the slave.
Yes.
Now China has a toll. Now China says, oh yeah, bring your industry. We're just rice farmers here. Bring your industry and manufacturing. What do we know? We're just farmers. Now, look at them. They're the technology, the manufacturing, the industrial base in the world. So, this was a huge mistake on the part of allowing bankers who are not industrialists, who are not manufacturers. What they are is money counters, and that's all they are. You take a banker out and you say, hey, start a corporation. They're like, dab, 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 dab. Let me look at the books and I'll pencil some numbers. Hey, how about running something? How about building something? How about smelting something? How about welding something? How about crafting something? Can you do any of that? What? Never. Oh, the only thing I know how to use is a calculator. Where's my 10 key? Then I'll get it going for you. Well, they thought they could run the economy. It's just like these corporation golems, Amazon and Microsoft,
BlackRock, Vanguard.
BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, Boeing, these golems, Raytheon, GE, all these guys, all these golems that are running around. We're going to dictate policy. We're going to tell you what to do. We're going to run the government. We're going to run this. We're going to run
We're going to
Wall Street.
force you to accept transgenderism and LGBT. We're going to force your little kids to buy little toddler outfits that are both for boys and girls.
Why would they do this? What is the thinking behind these CEOs that they think that this is something that they should have going on in America?
God shall give them strong delusion to believe a lie.
Yeah, amen. Amen. So we know that the corporate leaders in the international, in the industrial West, are deluded.
Yes,
They're deluded, they're misled, they're confused, and they're leading the country right off a cliff.
and they're prideful. Pride cometh before the fall. Oh, wow, pride, Millie, Schumer, all of them. Oh, well, we'll tell the American people what to do. We'll tell these students what to do. We'll execute them by suspension and expulsion and arrest. We'll put a misdemeanor or even a felony on your record. Will and the Iranians go, you can come over here and study. And I think the Russians are going to do the same thing. And the Iranians are smart. They're some of the smartest people you come across, the Persians, right? And that's the Yemens have done the same thing. So this abuse, this tyranny by stupid, delusional people, and sadly, I mean, maybe you could explain it, but I said with Jim yesterday, Trump is going down this part of towards the part of the pond that's thin ice. People are going to go emotionally, and all people vote emotionally. They're going to most of the people are going to look and say, wait a minute, you're doing all this. We don't want money in Ukraine. We don't want money in Gaza. We don't want genocide. We don't want our students being abused. Yeah, there may be some communist Bolshevik Chinese plants, Soros plants there, but you can't go on this sort of a route with them. And Trump just see and he I mean Jim played some clips yesterday. I would see, tell people to go watch it. He's playing the campaign clips of Trump on stage, and I voted for the guy. You and I went and tried to help him, and he's saying things that you can't really walk back. It
You
shows
can't walk
you
him back.
true heart.
You can't walk him back. And the thing is with the Stormy Daniels testimony coming up. Now, here's the thing, from a legal standpoint, sometimes it doesn't make any difference what the testimony is. The fact that she's testifying is the iceberg that hits the hull of the Titanic.
Yes.
Because if you recall, there was a statement that was brought out that Trump had made about grabbing women,
Yes. Grabbing them in the crotch and just letting them do it. And I mean, ugly things that a gentleman doesn't say or do.
But the fact is that was a bullet that just about sunk his ship.
Right. You're
It
right.
certainly sunk his ship with the younger generation. They're like, that guy's a molester. I'm not interested in him at all. No, they didn't care about the fact that a woman came forward and said, Biden physically raped me in the 90s,
Yeah.
right?
Tara Reid.
They just ignored her. But when Trump makes a remark like that, well, that's enough to sink his ship. Well, now here we are. You've got a prostitute who's going to come to the table and saying he paid me and then he tried to pay me off. Then his ex-lawyer, by the way, is breaching every bar protocol known to man. And I don't
Yep.
know, I've never heard Trump's lawyers come out and say, hey, I have attorney-client privilege. I don't care
Yes.
what this guy's coming out of this guy's mouth. Everything that he knows was given him pursuant to the attorney-client privilege. You cannot admit one second of it in this
No.
proceeding. I'm claiming the privilege. I don't care
Yes.
what he's willing to do. I don't care if he's, and he's been willing You talk about a gag order. This guy's been on, X or whatever it is,
Yes.
TikTok. He blabbing. And where's the judge's gag order when it comes to Michael Cohen? Oh, let him talk. Because, of course, we have two-sided justice. One guy gets all the freedom of the world and no prosecution. The other guy, if he accidentally lets a little gas escape, boom, off to prison go you. Of course, Trump cannot close the lips because he has his own pathology going. And
Yes.
instead of taking the time, for instance, he never, this is what happened to him in the debates with Biden or whoever it was that was debating him. He was like, flounder, 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 flounder. And Biden looks at him and says, somebody tell this clown to shut up. Now, the correct approach to that should have been, you're speaking to the president of the United States. Now, maybe that's the way you speak in your trailer park where you grew up, where trailer trash like you come from. But that's not the way you speak to the president of the United States. And I would hope if you got elected that you would understand the formality of the office that you completely miscomprehend here. But instead, Trump went down the yakety blah, 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 blah. I meant to say blah, 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 right? Which was, and his methodology of like defeating Bloomberg. You're talking about Little Mike or whatever his name was, Midget Mike or whatever he had a nickname for him, And it was a very demeaning nickname. And
Which again doesn't create the image of a professional, of a diplomat, of a general, of a commander in chief, of a president of the United States. Ronald Reagan, I always come back to Reagan as the standard. Trump
he
doesn't
doesn't
close.
need it. He can't get there. Now they're, the mayor of New York is saying they're preparing Rikers Island for Trump's incarceration. Okay. Now, the fact of the matter is that it's very highly likely that this jury is going to find him guilty. This judge is going to find him guilty. I don't know in how many counts. Then you have a question of, is it going to be concurrent or consecutive sentencing, right? If you could only get 1 year for each one of the offenses, he could give him 33 years. There's 33
Yes.
offenses, right?
There you
You know,
go.
I mean, you know, th this is the kind of thing I'm saying. And I've never heard his lawyers come out and plead, hey, wait a minute, attorney-client privilege, but Cohen can't testify at all. And furthermore, all the stuff that he said is, they did bring a motion for a mistrial.
If you don't raise it, Steve, you can't raise it on appeal. That's the whole thing. Where the fuck are his attorneys? Where are these arguments? Where are these constitutional issues?
I don't know. I'm not privy to every pleading, so I can't judge what's happening. But I can say the fact that Michael Cohen has been given this loose lips when the attorney-client privilege should apply is just incredible. But when Stormy Daniels testifies, then what's it going to look like? Hey, you paid a woman for sex while you were married to Melania, and everybody loves Melania. You paid a woman for sex when you were married to Melania, and more importantly, you did it when she was pregnant. And then you went through your lawyer and said, pay her off to get her to shut up, hush money, hush money, hush money, hush money, which looks really dirty and ugly. It looks dirty and ugly. Now you come out and you got a guy who's like, I'm not going to take a stand on abortion. I'm pro-abortion. I'm pro-LGBT. I want more funding for Gaza. I'm going to continue to fund Ukraine. I mean, all of these things are coming out of his mouth. And when you see these kinds of things, you're asking yourself, and he continues to be, I'm the godfather of the vaccine.
A double man, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The vaccine thing is going to kill him. AstraZeneca has now come out. RT had a story. AstraZeneca, blood clots, all this stuff. They're being forced to remove it from marketability. So AstraZeneca and the COVID-19. Nikki Aaron was playing it today. They're admitting blood clots were caused.
Yeah,
These 80 million Indians.
Moderna's profits plummeted by 1.2 billion. I mean, you're seeing, the pharmaceutical, chicken is coming home to roost. And as it comes home to roost, you have a genocide that has been perpetrated worldwide that exceeds the deaths of World War II. And our man, Trump, was like the chief, cheerleader for this event. And he gave his pulpit to criminal Anthony Fauci, who hasn't been convicted yet, but should be, for the crimes he's committed against humanity, many of which began in 1979 when he introduced tainted vaccines for AIDS. Actually, there were tainted vaccines in hepatitis A and hepatitis B that caused autoimmune deficiency syndrome, at least according to Dr. Mikovits. And he's continued down that same protocol for years after year after year after year after year after year. And so here, and then he gives him the pulpit. He gives Deborah Birx the pulpit. You know, there was a great interview that Naomi Wolf did recently, and her interview was really outstanding in terms of diagnosing what took place with this scamdemic and
What were
how
the
bad it
effects?
was.
What did they do? What were the effects? Not their intentions. Well, I want it. Not what you wanted. What the effects were, what the fruit was, what
And
your actions did.
what they knew before they introduced it, they knew. And so when you see this, and this is the whole point that Naomi Wolf makes, it's not like they intended good intentions. They had pre-existing knowledge of what the damage was going to be. They knew. And even today, I mean, here I am, you know, listening to this interview of Naomi Wolf, and I can see these jabs still being promoted at Walgreens and being promoted at Walmart, being promoted at you know, CVS, whatever pharmacy happens to be in your district. You know, they're still promoting these things. It's like, we don't hear anything. We don't know anything. We don't watch the various reports. We know nothing.
We have a 33-year-old Chinese woman that just died of cancer, and she got five shots. 33.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if the protocol goes on and on and on and on and on. I was talking with a person who said she knew a guy that had received the shot right here. He got cancer that went right from the shot point until it rotted his arm right off. His arm literally fell off and it killed
Wow.
him. Yeah.
Wow.
And this happened in a very short period, like 3 month period of time from the time of the shot until he was dead. And, you know, so, you know, the point being is this, is that here you have Trump really who is, you know, he's pulled out a 45 and he's blown six holes in the bottom of his rowboat. I mean, that's what he's done. And while he's doing it, he can't zip the lip. So I don't know who his campaign manager is. I don't know who's orchestrating any of this stuff. But anybody who thinks Trump is coming back to power are crazy. He's not coming back to power. And even if people say, well, look, he's all we've got in the Republican Party, we're going to vote. Look, the Republicans have practically killed their party right now because
They
they're
have.
no longer a party of America. They're a party of Israel. They represent Israeli interests. They don't represent American interests. And they're willing to put all kinds of money into Ukraine and into Israel and into Taiwan and not one dime into you. Not one dime. Not one dime is coming to your bridges. Not one dime comes to your railroad. Not one dime is going to be putting high-speed rail in. Not one dime is going to take care of the million-acre fire in Texas. Not one dime to the environmental damage in Palestine, Ohio. Not one dime for, you know, $600 per family in Maui. Really? $600 for family? While the FEMA guys are in hotel rooms at $1,000 a night looking over the damage.
And when you admit that homes with blue roofs didn't burn, Biden saying it twice at the State of the Union and before that, and the jackass who comes to him with the forestry department says, yeah, no, they didn't burn because they had the right roof construction. Since when does a fire start from the roof down?
That's a question.
When it's electric, fire rays, sunbeams.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so here you go. Where's the funding for America? Where is it? Well, they're at war with America.
Yeah.
The funding for America is, gee, how can we get rid of you with tainted vaccines? How can we get rid of you with tainted food? How can we get rid of you by eliminating your food supply altogether? How can we get rid of you by causing droughts? How can we get rid of you by taking the harp and causing adverse weather events all over the central United States that have never been seen before? How do we get rid of you? How can we get rid of you people? Really?
Well, we have to
question?
Guilt trip. We have to guilt trip you. We have to tell you by Bill O'Reilly and Trump standing up there on a stage. Oh, yeah, you got to get it or else you hate grandma and you hate everybody and you're a hate unless you get this shot. Experimental. Oh, and then you'll be fired and you can't do. I mean, we must never forget the evil, sanctimonious pride that these media and politicians and Trump and Bill O'Reilly and the rest of them did about this shot that has destroyed and will destroy how many human beings? I think it's going to decimate the entire Asian population because most of them got it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I can't speculate as to who's going to go down from the shot, because many people received a placebo,
Well, hopefully.
you know, and we don't know, and it varied, you know, they varied district by district. For instance, there were more harmful ones given in conservative districts and less harmful ones given in liberal districts. And this we know is the case. And you know, but AstraZeneca in Britain really is, you know, I don't know how AstraZeneca is, how their leadership is going to avoid long prison terms in Britain, because there are many, many people. And, you know, the kind of suffering in Britain is much more in your face. You know, I've spent a lot of time in Britain since the pandemic. In fact, I was there during the pandemic, had to quarantine for 14 days in an 8 by 8 room in order to be able to go out and visit people that I needed to see. And I went through that quarantine, that thanks to a lion, a putrid dog, Matt Hancock, who really should be hanged for his participation in that scamdemic. Boris Johnson, who also should be hanged, who, after he finished his prime minister's tour, paid 38 million in cash for a house. Where'd he get 38 million as prime minister? I know where he got it. He got it the same place Jacinda Ardern, the prime minister of New Zealand, got her 25 million. Same funding source. But AstraZeneca, in its protocols in Britain, which went through the NHS, you know, there were so many people that died from that. And the numbers coming out of the NHS were accurate. So the numbers that came out of the NHS showed that 92% of the people who came down with quote unquote long COVID or COVID at all were vaxxed. 92% of the people that died, 92% had been vaxxed. And then the numbers of deaths in Britain are horrific. I mean, they're horrific. Everybody I know has been touched by death. Everybody I know in the Isles has been touched by death, whether it's been their parents that have died in old folks' homes that they were unable to see, right? Or in hospice care and so on and so forth, athletes dropping dead on the field. I mean, the deaths in Britain are just horrendous. It's much more in your face. In the States, we've had huge numbers, but because we're so spread out and we're a population of 330 million, you don't really see the numbers. But you do in Britain, because they're right in your face how many people have dropped dead. And so I don't think AstraZeneca is going to be able to avoid prosecution. There are people in Scotland, in Northumberland, in Liverpool that are just like fit to be tied.
Well, let's explore that for a second, though, Stephen, because I don't believe you're going to have any courts. You're not going to have any justice. You're not going to have any human beings occupying any of the positions in the courts of the justice that are sane, that are able to do any of this, that want to do this. I think they are so, they, again, we come back to gnashing their tongues in pain, you know, furious, angry, you know, psychotic, that they are, I've said it before, they are going into, they're becoming demoniac. Demoniac in the Bible was the demonic possessed individual that roamed the cemeteries and all that stuff, who came to his right mind when Christ crossed the lake of Galilee, when the storm was going on and he walked across the water and stuff. When they got to the other side, if I'm not mistaken, the demoniac possessed with demons that had broken chains out of his mind, you know, like the werewolf and Dracula and Frankenstein combined. And he falls to his knees because Christ is there. And he comes into his right mind and he goes into the town. Christ says, go in and show what the Lord has done for you. And all the people in the town see the demoniac, right? That everyone has feared for how long. But in our society, Stephen, in Britain, you're talking about, I think they are going towards becoming demoniac and they're
Yeah, there
not
is
going to be.
certainly, you certainly have this going on. And you know, the problem in Britain, of course, is comes down to one guy, right? There's one festering pimple on the buttocks of Britain, and that's Jimmy Savile. And
Yes.
Jimmy Savile was just a pedophile extraordinaire, a child rapist, and a personal friend of Prince Philip and a personal friend of Prince Charles. Now, Prince Charles, a true believer in the vax, took the vax. He's now got pancreatic cancer, is dying. You know, Kate Middleton did a shot of her taking the vax. She had it videotaped, and now no one's seen Kate Middleton for months and months, and they're trying to claim she's still hospitalized. Well, where is she, right? And so there's no Kate Middleton. William has said, I don't want to be king because I don't want to take the oath of office saying I'm going to be defender of the faith. So here we sit. We sit in this situation in this theocracy that's in a absolutely constitutional monarchical crisis right now. It's a monarchical crisis. And ultimately, you can say the judiciary is corrupt. You can say the Masonic order, for instance, which dominates the Anglican Church and the judiciary. In Britain, they dominate it completely. In the United States, about 80% of the judiciary is Masonic, 80 to 90%. And the residual are on their way to becoming Masons, or they're on their way off the bench. But it is the Masonic order that is controlling all these things. And the Masonic order has been overcome from the inside by satanic forces, 1776. Actually, before that, in Scotland, the Scottish Rite Masonic Lodge was overtaken by one faction of the Knights Templar in the early 1500s following the execution of the leadership of the Knights Templar. Half went to Scotland, half went to Switzerland. The half that went to Switzerland formed the Swiss Banks. The half that went to Scotland infiltrated the Masonic order, and they brought in the Baphomet. You know, the Baphomet is an interesting god, half man, half goat, half male, half female. Its genitalia are the caduceus, you know, the two serpents wrapped around the pole. You know, this Baphomet is a demon extraordinaire, you know, Hashem Dai, Asmodeus, depending on what you want to call him. This Baphomet worshipped by the Knights Templar. But they brought this into the Scottish Rite Masonic order and satanized the order. And people who are in the Masons know what I'm talking about. I'm not a Mason, never been one. But people who have been, that have been Masons know what I'm talking about. And until the Masonic order is purged from the judiciary in Britain and purged from the clergy in the church, it's going to be, there's always going to be demoniac. It's always going to be demon infested. It has to be purged. And it needs to be purged from the top down. And, you know, and again, we come back to this topic of theocracy, Orthodox theocracy in Russia and Protestant theocracy in Britain.
And let me just say, it seems like the only nation state that is going to help the people of Britain, Scotland, Ireland, America, Canada, cleanse themselves. The people in Australia, the people may be rising up, but the only nation state that could help, assist, provide support, provide encouragement, provide collateral, legal lawfare, artillery fire, is Russia. Russia is the only country that has all of the documentation about the bio labs in Ukraine that were directly linked to COVID-19 development. Russia is they've got a whole dossier on every subject because they're Russian. And they presented some of this stuff in the UN. But as things get worse, and the people start crying out for deliverance, and it's going to get ugly. I think, you know, when the cops start abusing every citizen, you can't go into Safeway, we're shutting it down, you know, you have to report in this line with a special pass. And the police could get that way because they don't care about anything but stuffing their own mouths. They don't care about the Constitution. Maybe some do here and there, but for the most part, these people are medicated, psychotic, bully Masonic thugs, and the only state that will give people relief, I think, is Russia, not China. China, you know, is
no, it won't be China. China is absolutely out of the question now. China, I think, is going to continue to rise as a manufacturing power, but China, right now, is completely dependent upon, guess what, cheap Russian natural gas. And that's, and so China's affluence depends exclusively on that natural gas. Now, with Russia rising, and I think you're going to see this, you're going to see Russia rise to a real position of dominance. And I do expect Russia to actually be accepted in Western Europe. Now, I'm not talking about in the British Isles, but I'm talking about in the Napoleonic Code areas of Western Europe, because the Catholic Church is failing. You know, Petrus Romanus, right? Tom Horn's prophecy. And not only Tom Horn's prophecy, but there's been many other prophecies. Malachi Martin, who prophesied that we've arrived at Petrus Romanus. And with Petrus Romanus, we've reached the last pope, the expiration of the papacy, the expiration of this rogue church that broke away from orthodoxy with 21 ecumenical councils not recognized in the Eastern Church. This church is going to plummet. It's going to fall. It's failing in Italy as we speak. And it's
rotting. It can't survive.
Yeah, it's not going to survive. It's going to fail. And this current leader is killing it himself. He's committing
Yes.
suicide to the church, and he's going to kill the church. Now, when he kills the church, there'll still be some residual Catholicism worldwide, but there will not be the centerpiece of the Vatican, the Vaticanus. This Vaticanus is going to come to an end. And when it does, the whole machination that we call the Third Reich, which is the Third Rome, right?
Yes.
First Rome was the Western Roman Empire. It was recreated under Charlemagne as the Second Rome, the Holy Roman Empire, 800 AD, lasted until overthrown by Napoleon in the early 1800s, recreated by Adolf Hitler as the Third Rome, which lost World War II, but overcame Europe with the EU, with an economic
Yes.
insider methodology
Yes.
that they could not win by force. They have won by deceit, by fraud, by economies of scale, by a sales job.
And
And
let's
so,
always remember, and I remember this from the 70s and the 80s growing up, the whole introduction of that poison pill was first the foundation of the EU was we're just going to make it easier for you to travel around the European countries. So if you're from Britain, you can travel to France, you can travel to Germany, you can travel all over without getting visas to Italy, visas to Spain, visas to whatever the EU countries. So it was easy to digest. Hey, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, the EU, so we can travel around. No, there's a lot more. Now we're also going to introduce the EU euro, the euro currency. Oh, chocolate is measured this way and milk this way. Oh, well, fisheries are controlled by. And then you have the bureaucratic Ursula von Leyen and all the rest of them rise up in this unelected tyranny of bureaucracy.
Reich leadership, Reich
Yes.
leadership. The children of the Reich are running the EU. But once again, we're seeing now, what we're seeing right now is we're witnessing the failure of leadership. So Europe is willing to stand by and go, okay, let's do this EU thing as long as you give us this German excellence, your German engineering, your German cars, and your German industry and all this. Well, guess what? That excellence was wholly dependent upon cheap Russian gas. And with the
And the
gas,
moral fiber of the parents and the people and the families that grew engineers out of Germany in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s.
yeah, that's right. What happened to that? Well, all of that disappeared. So now you see the failure of the Reich. You see what I'm talking about? In addition to
That's why
losing World War
Boeing
II.
has everything falling apart.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we have this failure of the Reich. Now, with the failure of the Reich, you're going to see Western Europe look to that and say, okay, as we are failing, and no one has stood up and said, no one is willing to say the emperor has no clothes because the US killed the Nord Stream pipeline, which killed us. No one's willing to say it. Denmark's not willing to say it. Germany's not willing to say it. France isn't willing to say it. Even though it's clearly obvious, oh, I can't say that. Well, if you can't say it, then guess what? You're collapsing into nothing. And as they collapse, here's Russia rising. So you have Western Europe doing this. You've got Russia doing this. And
That's
when
right.
Russia like this,
Yeah.
Western Europe is going to say, hey, can we be a part of that?
Yes,
That's what's going to happen. Can we be a part of that?
I
And Russia
agree.
will say, yes, you could be a part of it, but you have to come in on a moral foundation.
That's
Now,
right.
this moral foundation, I believe, is going to be the spread of orthodoxy. This
Yes.
orthodoxy will spread, and it will spread in through Europe and will go all the way to Paris. It'll go all the way to France. But it will not go to Britain. It will not go to Britain. And I believe Spain and Portugal will also retain their Catholic heritage. But the rest of Western Europe is going to slowly merge over into that Eastern Orthodoxy, and they're going to merge into this giant conglomerate that is going to be called Europe, the New Europe, which is going to be run and controlled by the Kremlin. It's going to come out of the
Well,
Kremlin.
you're gonna have, you're gonna. The thing about the Russians that they're basically, hey, choose this day who you'll serve. Choose life. I put a choice before you, life and death. Choose life. God says it. The Russians say it. Putin has said it. Choose life. Choose a relationship. Choose honor. Choose looking at us and we at you with equal, equal
With equality. How about that?
equality. That's all Russia's said. That's all they've ever said. That's the thing that always baffles and blows me away is the level of humility expressed in their diplomatic talks and rationale. They're not firebrands like I would be, and I mean, but they're doing the right thing. And everything in Europe, you're right, Stephen, is going to go that way because they're far more reasonable and calm. And based on the insanity, the eating of shit and ashes, which the people of Europe, in the United States and Canada and Australia and Britain, everybody's been forced to do, and the madness of the vaccine, all of this sickness, this is the darkest time in Western civilization. This is the darkest, sickest time in the history of Anglo-Saxon Celtic people.
Yeah, it
There,
is.
and it's absolutely the only thing that can stop this are German, Scottish, Celtic, Scandinavian people rising up like fucking leaders, warriors, unsheathing their sword and their spear and saying, "That's it. We're stripping off our clothes, painting ourselves blue, and fighting like naked pigs. And we're going down and we're coming after all of you."
Yeah, but no,
The
Scott.
time is gone, like you said before. No, there's no time in the, it's gone. We're coming for blood.
Yeah, but
And
I want to
it's
say,
not out of it's
I
not out
think,
of vengeance, it's out of a necessity. We
sure,
have to
it's out of
kill all of
necessity,
them.
absolutely. But let me say this to you, because I do think that when you talk about the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Gaelic world, okay, when you're talking about that world has been without a leader
Yes.
for 70 plus years. Queen
Yes.
Elizabeth plays sat for 70 years. She
Yep.
plays sat. Well, I'll wear the right pearls. I'll go to the right function. I'll get into the gold chariot. I'll salute and wave and meet with the dignitaries and elbow, wrist, wrist, wrist. But she did not lead. Now, leadership in this world, the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Gaelic world, leadership requires two things. I want to make this point clear. It requires the having a strong handle on the common law,
Yes.
because the king does not execute, a king judges.
Yes.
A king judges. And the king has to be able to say that is consistent with the understanding of the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Gaelic people, or it's inconsistent. It does not spring from time immemorial. It's not reasonable, and furthermore, it's not lawful. And so we have to be able to look at these things and understand the common law. He has to be a Brehon, a judge, in the traditions of these people. That's premise number one. Premise number two. He has to be a defender of the true faith, not the faith that's modified by Rome, not the faith that's co-opted by Masons, not the faith that's restructured under Constantine, but the original faith birthed in Britain upon a tradition that was at least 500 years old when it was birthed. He has to know that faith and defend that faith. And he has to lead as a judge. Now, this becomes extremely important, Scott, because we have not had a leader in the Anglo-Saxon world. We have not had Robert the Bruce, okay? We have not had Jochebed the Hereman. We have not had Henry the Eighth. We have to have a leader who stands up and says, this is the Anglican way. It is a theocracy that is predicated on these premises. This is the common law. This is the standard by which the Commonwealth, what is the wealth of the Commonwealth? The wealth of the Commonwealth is the common law and the faith. And he has to be able to articulate the tenets of the faith with deadly accuracy and be a judge of the common law. And when we have a leader in the position, see, I don't think, I see, this is where I've come to disagree with the idea of us rising up. Nobody's going to rise up, because anybody who rises up gets beheaded by the parasites and the mooches that are controlling the place.
True.
It has to come from the top down now. And of course, the top down requires he who is going to lead to be reverent to he who created him.
Amen.
You cannot take the post without the will of Yah.
Amen.
And to be in reverence, look at the writings of David when he led the kingdom of David. Look at his writings, look at his repentance, look at his heart, look what he did. This is what the leader has to do. Has to be repentant before Yah, glorying Yah, and trusting in Yah, and carrying with him the Ark of the covenant of Yah, defending the faith, confirming the common law, and judging the commonwealth. This is the standard by which we live, and this is the standard by which we don't live. None of this business of running around with Jimmy Savile and hanging out on Epstein Island. None of that crap. That stuff is garbage. It's not worth the time of the king. The king has to lead. The king has to lead. The king has to lead. Let the king rise up. Let the king rise up and be in obeisance to Yahweh. May Yah rise him up and anoint him and place his name upon him, that he might lead his people, Yasharel, back into safety and health again, that we can stand before the house of Esau and say, not you, not now, not again, and not ever.
Amen. Well, I think you're right, Stephen. I think we're approaching that time. And there has to be a falling away. There has to be a collapse. There has to be a fire sale. There has to be, you know, the idols being smashed. There has to be a Sodom and Gomorrah devastation for people, his righteous people, to flee, to be led out. And God will do that with his righteous people. This is a time, I think, where he is taking away ever so gently, and he's done it for, you know, let's say 50 years, but God is separating the idols of so much which has defined our existence. And every generation has progressively lost the banking capital of the nation, the traditions and the myths and the songs and the hymns and the stories and all of that. We've lost it all because the families have been destroyed. Marriages have been destroyed. Now you've got a whole abomination of out of wedlock births and cursings and all of this stuff. So we've progressively lost all of this, but God is calling his people out of Egypt in a spiritual sense. And the hardship and the all of the rejection of idols has to come. You have to be prepared to reject Trump, reject the Republican Party, reject the United States of America, reject the Congress, reject the Supreme Court, reject all of this stuff that has been set up as an idol. Because that's what it really has been. Because, well, you got to do this. You got to get a vaccine because the government tells us to. But all of those idols were used to introduce death and suffering into people, except for those of us who said, no. I follow God. I follow his calling. And my heart, his spirit witnesses with my spirit. And he's telling me there's evil in this vaccine thing. Don't touch it. Don't go near it. People who come and you have to wear a mask. And I've bellowed a few times. You righteously roar out. But all of these things are happening, Stephen. We're being stripped of all of our idols. And it, you know, part of it's also exciting, isn't it? Because you're saying, wow, we're witnessing the collapse of the United States of America. Are you going to look back? Oh, I want to go back to Johnny Carson. I want to. Oh, well, we can go back. We can just vote for Republican, vote for Trump. The whole fucking party is diseased lepers. Remember the scene from 300? Those old mystics up on the mountain covered in syphilis. And I like Stephen Pidgeon's mental syphilis that they're all infected with in Washington. This is the true state of America. The picture of Dorian Gray. It's not a beautiful supermodel guy. It's a horrible, deformed monstrosity. That's the reality, because that's the reality of sin when the nation becomes that, when the nation adopts that, an abortion. And I mean, how many children? You line them all up, all these poor children in Palestine. Look at all the children who have been aborted in America, killed, slaughtered. Anyway, I'll end it there by just saying the entire structure, like the walls of Jericho, are coming crumbling down. And it's a time for us just to go, Lord, thy will be done. Whatever it is, just give us the wisdom and the protection to lead us where you want to take us.
Yeah, hallelujah.
I'll end it there and hand it to you, Stephen, to get your closing thoughts. Go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right about that, Scott. I think we are witnessing the demise of the United States of America. It has gone down a path it should have never transgressed, right? It should have never gone this way. But it did, and we can look back and say, well, we failed to do this, we failed to do that. It was unstoppable. It was an unstoppable transgression that was taking place in the country. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that we didn't stop in the beginning. If, for instance, if England had paid attention to the colonies like it should have, from 1620 to 1770, if King George III, instead of looking to tax the resource, had invested in the garden, instead of trying to harvest the garden early, he should have gone in and invested into the garden and said, we need to do what's necessary to perfect this as part of Britain. And in order to do that, we have to do this, 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 and this, and this to build infrastructure. You know, he argued that none of the colonists should go over the Appalachians and go after Indian territory because the Indians considered that their home. And he didn't want to be fighting any more battles with the Indians. He wanted to call it a day. Why don't you guys take these 12 colonies and build them out? You got enough land there. You could put 40, 50 million, 60 million people there with no problem. Build that out and live your life there. Oh, no, don't tell us what to do. We're going over there. We're going to take that land and we're going to kill those people and kill their buffalo and slaughter them and do this, that, and the other thing. All those sins of genocide, which were perpetrated by Americans.
Yes.
When you're talking about the Cherokee Nation and the Trail of Tears, when you're talking about Wounded Knee, when you're talking about the battles in the Black Hills and the theft of reservation land, the taking of the Oregon, of the Oklahoma Sooners who stole the lands from the Cherokee and the Chippewa and the Cree and all of that stuff that happened, these were all sins of the nation that accumulated.
Amen.
And they've accumulated and they have cast us onto a course that brought us to Abe Lincoln and its subversion, that brought us to the destruction of the nation, brought us to the destruction of the Constitution, the emergencies, and then we came to compete with Nazi Germany to see if we could be the army for Rome. Look, once we put up the obelisk and we put up the cupola in Washington, D.C., it was over for us. That was the end of America right there. It was just a matter of time before we died. And now here we are. We've arrived at that moment. We've arrived at that moment of death of the country. And so we could sit back and say, gee, let's repent. Let's turn from our wicked ways and maybe Yah will heal the land. There isn't any repentance going on. Instead, we put $31 billion more into the idea of killing women and children in Palestine. We put $60 billion more into the idea of killing the Russians. And all of this idea has to do with the fact that we think that our idol, the American dollar, is capable of us wielding our commands worldwide without any idea, without any consequence whatsoever. And the consequences now are certain. I mean, we're going to cross this threshold on May 19th. It's 40 days from the eclipse. When we cross that threshold, our destiny is certain. The destiny of the United States is certain. And that destiny is destruction.
No, you're exactly right on every level, Steve. And the reason I kind of chuckle about this is because God, who sits in the heavens, shall laugh at them and hold them in derision. And the Lord's Spirit's in us, and we feel his laughter. And it's sad, but at the same time, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Are, you know, to be absent from the Lord or to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard nor entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those that love him. Our eternal salvation and our eternal destiny is with our Father in heaven, our Creator and his Son, Jesus Christ, who paid for our sins and gave us eternal life. And it is in the power of our testimony, in our witness, and our joy, the joy of the Lord shall be your strength. And in our angelic protection, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I shall give thee a tongue thine enemies cannot gainsay nor resist. These blessings upon his children are going to become brighter and brighter and brighter, and saltier as the world becomes duller and darker. And I hope and pray men are going to see us and go, your God is God. I've lost everything. Your God is God. Only God can open their eyes and ears. But I think he's creating an American escape from New York scenario to call people to himself in these last days. Anything more you want to add, Stephen, before we close out? Very powerful show.
Yeah, I just want to say this, Scott, that I stand prepared to assist where I can if there is further knowledge that needs that is desired by those who are going to obtain leadership in the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, and Gaelic world. You know, I stand at the beck and call. Call me, and, you know, I will put down what I am doing, and come and advise and teach for months if necessary, so we have a complete understanding of what's going on. So I just wanted to make that clear. And and I'll just say this, Scott, look, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This is where we are. We walk through this valley. And just to make it clear, I don't hold any umbrage against anybody in any political party. I'm angry at the fact that I have been unable to turn the tide of understanding among the political class. But I have, I don't have any, I'm not a well-heeled billionaire that can go around, dropping hundreds of millions or buying people off or doing any of this. I can't do any of that. I only speak from a rhetorical point of view. But what you said at the beginning of the show, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, right? And as the Russians, as it is written in Russia, even the peace of the Saporuski Yazik, no bogs for you, no, and as ob istina, od istina, služajet glasa mojevo. It is for this reason I was born, and this reason I came to the earth, to testify to the truth. Those who are of the truth hear my voice. Hallelujah.
Amen. Now is the time also to pick up your 50-pound bags of rice and beans and rubbing alcohol and having a stock of survival foods, dry goods. Just go get dry goods. Everyone should have it, already, just as a matter of preparedness. And get a big black container that has a lid that you can seal, and has some duct tape. You can get them at Costco. You can get them out of Home Depot, but you need to get a big container, plastic container. Get one with wheels on it if you can, and put a 50-pound bag of white rice, brown rice, pinto beans, black beans, red beans, onion powder, salt, pepper, paprika, all of the things, just to be prepared in case anything ever happens. You are secure. That's wisdom. That's get wisdom, get understanding. And this is a time to prepare. And if you haven't got the black salve, the Indian black salve, I would strongly tell people to get it, because you may not have cancer, but someone else will. And that's the only thing that kills and eats and destroys the cancer that I've seen. I've got s pictures from people sending them in, Stephen, with big breast cancers. I won't show the pictures yet, but lady put it on. And the whole frickin' cancer is dying and withering. I said, it's painful. I said, yeah, it is, but it's going to be pushed out of the body. This is the miracle, stuff that God's given. So I'd encourage people, go to destroy-cancer.com, and I would get some, just a little bottle, but it's a lifesaver. But these are the times, and fear not. We're simply going to be trying to be obedient to our Father's will in heaven. And you're right, Stephen. We don't have any agenda or animosity against anybody. All have fallen short. All fall short of the glory of Christ, glory of God. But we want to be welcoming those who can hear His voice. My sheep know my voice, right? And that's why we open and close these shows with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast thy bread upon the waters, it shall not return unto you void. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So let us continue to always do that. Stephen Pidgeon, so refreshing and wonderful and anointed. We are very happy to have you, and we thank our Father in heaven for blessing you with wisdom. We ask the Lord to bless you and your family and your home. And we ask that, Lord, bring us the people and resources that we need to be your ambassadors, and let us be a righteous nation again, if it's your will. If it is your will, let us repent and forgive us and cleanse us of our sins, and raise up us as a people, as a nation, however it may be, in these days moving forward. But whatever happens, thy will be done, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Stephen
Amen.
Pidgeon, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for
Thank you,
joining us.
Scott.
We will see you next time. God bless you. Good night.